Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction.
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word with Pastor Brian Griffin. Walk in the Spirit is an outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we will all learn to walk in the Spirit.
So when I look back on our lives, speaking about my wife and my son and I's lives, and when it wasn't quite so hectic in our lives, we did for a while have this thing that I loved. I absolutely just loved. What we used to actually, and I don't know, maybe many of you still do this, I'm not sure, but we used to plan our meals. And we'd write out a weekly meal schedule for what we were going to have. Not necessarily for the breakfasts or for the lunch, but for dinner in particular. And Shauna would write it out, and she'd have the menu lifted out, and she'd hang it on the fridge, and it would be there all week, so we knew what we were having. I loved this. And believe it or not, I observed something about myself that actually taught me a spiritual lesson through having my menu for the week hung on the fridge. I know some of you are like going back to maybe your school days and thinking, remember you used to get the school lunch calendar, right? And so maybe you can relate this way through it. I don't know. Okay, but I remember when we had the menu hanging on the calendar, on our fridge, and have the day and what we were having and things like that. I used to get so excited because what would happen is this was a benefit not only to our household in the sense it helped out our budget quite a bit, but the benefit to our household, in particular to my wife, because she didn't have to put up with that annoying question, what's for dinner, from me and Jaden. She would just go, well, go read. What's on the menu? And so we'd go read. And also helped me out in the sense that if there were things on there that I knew we grilled, I also knew I'd be cooking that night. And so that helped me out as well. Well, I remember that I got so excited about this. And the spiritual lesson I learned from this is going to come from our text this morning. And I had a brother mention to me this morning, I have no idea how you get from one point to another like this sometimes. And this is going to be one of those mornings. I'm not going to lie to you. But I remember that what I observed about myself was this one thing, that it seemed like right after dinner, I mean, we would have just gotten done eating dinner, finishing our meal, I was completely full, I'd stuffed myself to the gills, and was totally satisfied with everything I'd have, I would get up and go look at the menu and see what we're having tomorrow. Now, I know it wasn't because I was like always wanting to eat and I was a glutton and all I wanted to do was eat all the time. I would go and look at that because I got excited and anticipatory about the next meal, if I can put it to you that way. I sat there totally satisfied and totally filled up and no hunger pains whatsoever, but I would still be anxious or not anxious is not the right word, but excited about anticipatory sense about the next meal. And in particular, if the next meal happened to be steak, then all of a sudden my level went from like here to there. But the truth of the matter is that I want you to understand that, and one of the concepts, and not one of the concepts we're going to spend most of our time looking at this morning, is this same idea. The apostle is going to talk to us about being filled, if I can put it that way, having been satisfied, but yet still anxious or excited about being filled again, if I can put it to you that way. This is one of the things we'll be discussing this morning, but about being completely content, if I can put it that way, and yet still wanting more. Completely content and still wanting more. But let's just begin in our text this morning at verse 10. Paul the Apostle writing says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Okay, just a quick note here on verse 10. This verse is not that Paul was chastising them for not taking care of him or providing for his needs. They wanted to. They lacked opportunity. It wasn't that they didn't care for him or anything like that. More in particular, he's mentioning this to give them the idea of an encouragement and the idea that as in serving others and not serving themselves all the time, it shows their heart, if I can put it that way, that they are showing, the love of Jesus Christ through their giving or their providing or their serving others. And this is what he's so excited about, that basically they have renewed in themselves that idea of serving others. giving to help others, not just to take care of their own, so to speak, not to take care of themselves. We know this concept because if we were to turn to Galatians, and I'm not going to spend time in verse 10, so don't bother turning there, but if we were to turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, we'd read these words: "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, what that tells us is this, is the same concept what he's saying here. You have now begun to help take care of me. You're bearing my burden, and now you're fulfilling the law of Christ. And we know what the law of Christ is, don't we? Because when the Lord was questioned, what are the two greatest commandments? He said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second commandment is not unlike that, which is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we understand what the law of Christ is all about. We understand that Paul is basically saying this: you are showing yourself a Christian, a brother in Christ, somebody who loves people when you do those things that would take you out of your comfort zone and give to help others. That's really what he's kind of encouraging in here. And I have no doubts that each one of you have had that idea or that experience in your own life at some point when you've taken from what you think you need and given to somebody else to be a blessing to them, and your heart just rejoices over the idea that you now get to, if I can put it to you this way, become a part of the solution for their burden. You get to bear their burden. Paul understands this, which is why in verse 14 of that same text, he says, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." What is he saying there? You've done well because now you are actually entering into my burdens. You're helping to take care of me, and you've communicated. You've actually taken a part in my affliction. Now, does that mean that they were in jail with Paul and they were chained up and they were beaten and things? No. What he's saying is, hey, when you took on my burden to help take care of me, you are actually partaking in my life now. And we can all think of somebody in our lifetime, somebody in our past who has come alongside of us and picked up some burden for us and carried it for us, if I can put it to you that way, and in doing so have so added greatly to our life. I mean, maybe they did it in a financial sense. Maybe they did it in an emotional sense. Maybe they just did it in a physical sense. You were carrying, you know, a bunch of bags and somebody came in and grabbed it. That's why, if you remember, it was customary when somebody would come to your home and they were carrying bags, what were you supposed to do? You were supposed to go out and relieve them of their bags, and it was always called what? Lightening their load, or taking their burden, if I can put it to you that way. We're taking this away from you. I'm going to do this for you now. You've carried it far enough. Let me help you out now. You are a part of my home, and I want you to be a part of my life. And so as such, I'm going to help carry some of that for you. Okay, enough of verse 10. All right, we're going to move on now. Here we go. Paul does not say those things, though, because of want. Look at this in verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul does not say these things because he has want. And that word want means a falling short. In other words, and I want you to keep that in mind, want is falling short. So Paul understood that he had not come short of anything that he had need of. Now, I don't know how many of us are willing to actually say that in our lives. I have not come short in anything that I have need of. I think the key comes in understanding need versus want, doesn't it? Because some of us think, I need a new car. Now, you may want a new car, and it's a blessing if you get a new car. What praise God. But you know what? I've told you guys before about my Faith Flight 777, my little Ford Ranger that had cancer all over it. You know, that body cancer looked like rust. And when I first met Chandra, I mean, I told you guys the story about having to tie the doors shut and everything like that, you know, and which worked really well because the rope going across also made a seatbelt. And so, you know, but the truth of the matter was, I've told you these stories about this, but I always thought to myself, I need a new vehicle. Why? That one still ran. It's still running. Yeah, I see it running around town sometimes today. All right? I didn't need one. I mean, it worked for what I needed it to do. All I needed to do was not have to walk, right? But luckily, the Lord did eventually bless me with a new vehicle. I had to sell that one to take Chandra to the prom, but that's a whole other story. Which tells you how much it was worth if all I could afford to do was take Chandra to the prom. Anyway, so we move on from that point, and this is what he's saying. He's not falling short of anything. He's not falling short. He has no lack. He has no need of anything. In other words, he's saying, I have everything I need. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. Paul's not asking for them from them because he has need. He's asking for them to be a blessing to them. But in Hebrews chapter 4, we read these words. get this idea of coming short of it again, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4, pick it up at verse 1, and we'll read through verses 1 through 3. It says, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the world preached did not, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Now I hope you caught this here. First of all, what does he say about coming short? He says, you seem to come short. It doesn't seem, and that word's amazing, it doesn't mean that it's true, does it? It means he's saying you think you've come short. You haven't come short. You have all the promises that you really need. And what is the promise that we really need? He talks about it in verse 2. He says, for unto us the gospel was preached. What is the promise that we really need? We need the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, we know what the gospel is. He says, you seem to have come short. If you've heard the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, was buried for you, is risen again, conquering the grave that you might have eternal life, and you've mixed that now with faith, in other words, meaning you've now trusted in that completed work of Jesus' cross, you would only seem to come short, but in reality, you have everything you need. That's what he's saying. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everything you need. Now, I understand that there are sometimes we go, I really need this. I'll give you a prime example. Right now, many of you know my wife has developed a beef allergy. I mean, the only thing worse than that in my mind is if she would have developed an allergy to coffee. Okay? But my wife has developed a beef allergy, and that means now that we're not eating that much beef at our home. And as you many of you know, I'm a hunter, and so we're going out, actually taking Jaden out this year for the first time too, and we're going to go after game so that we can have stuff for Chandra and us to eat. Now, I would say to you, I need to fill my freezer with game. That's what I would say. But the Lord might be going, yeah, no, you don't. Watch what I'm going to do for you this year. See how I'm going to provide for you this year. Now, he may choose to provide through game. I don't know. I haven't been out hunting yet. But I'm going to be honest with you that every morning before I go out hunting, I pray one simple prayer. I'm like, Lord, if it is in your will and you desire for me to harvest this day, let it be so. But I never go home disappointed. Tired, but never disappointed. I mean, because for those of you who may know anything about hunting, the what we think the fun part of hunting is ends like that. All right? The minute you squeeze the trigger, the fun's over. Then it's just work. And so, but the truth of the matter is this, is I think to myself, well, I might need that. But the Lord's saying, well, you're not really trusting in me because all you really need at this point is me. And let me take care of what you actually need. I'll provide for what your need really might be. Now, I'm not saying not to go out and give an effort to it or things like that. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes we take those things and we think to ourselves that we've come short. And then what he's telling us and encouraging us in this morning, guys, is this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not short in anything. There's nothing this world has to offer that you have need of. You have everything you need right now. That's it. Okay, end of sermon. Let's go home. I'm teasing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What is it we really need? Well, our Lord answers that question in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What is that need? Just to drive this point home with you guys, let me make this clear to you. And as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, remember that it closed that passage, that last passage we read. He said these words to us in that last passage that we read. In verse 3, he said, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, what he's telling you, you're entering into the rest now, even though that work was finished since the foundation of the world. In other words, he's planned on this for you forever. So you've never come short of it. He always had it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. You're familiar with this passage, and it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Am I become a fool in glorying? You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chief of the apostles, though I be nothing. What is he really saying here? He's saying what? Even though I should have all these things that I think I should have, I should have glory in these things, I am nothing in those things. The only thing I really need is what the Lord says in verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, my grace is enough for you. You need nothing else. Now, grace is going to what? It's going to provide for us. That's what it's all about. Grace is a gift, an undeserved gift. And that's why I understand that everything that happens in my life is a gift from the Lord. My wife was a gift from the Lord. I didn't deserve her. I didn't deserve any woman for that matter. But the Lord gave me a gift in my wife out of the grace. Now, his biggest grace, obviously, was my salvation, wasn't it? But everything since the Lord Jesus Christ gave me my salvation has been a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, my cars, my house, my job, my family, my friends, my church family, everything has been a grace from the Lord. And we need to remember that all we actually have to have in this life is Jesus Christ. That's it. His grace. That's it. Everything else, if I can put it to you this way, is just, you know, the whipped cream on top, so to speak. All right. I'm glad Rose is here. She's getting it. All right. Thank you, Rose. All right. I mean, in all honesty, all the rest of that is just extra. All we actually have to have is Jesus. Turn back to our text now this morning. And this is, we're going to come now. It does not speak of, rather, he does not speak of want, rather he expresses that he is fully content. Look at that at the end of verse 11 there, he says these words to us. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, not that I speak like I've come short in anything, I haven't, because I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He is fully content no matter what state he finds himself in. Content because he does not come short in anything, because all he needs is the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This contentment that he has fully revolves around his having experienced and received eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the contentment now that leads him to a place where he can say in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. That's the contentment. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abased, and we understand what that means. It means to be brought lower, to be humbled, and to abound, to be into superabundance, to be in excess or in excel. I've learned how to have both. And I'm sure each one of us had different experiences like this in our life, where there's been times when we felt like we were just brought low and we had nothing and we were just down here. And then all of a sudden we're up here and we have everything we're on top of the world, so to speak. And then we're brought back down and we learn to be content no matter where the Lord has us at. Now, I've told you guys before, there was a point in mine and Shauna's marriage in our lifetime when we actually were, if I could put it this way, excelling. Now, we didn't have everything the world should say we should have. We had a single wide trailer house. Loved it, by the way. All right? I'm not mocking anybody who has a trailer house sitting here this morning, because in all honesty, some of my best days and the best days of our marriage were spent in our single wide trailer house. But I let the world put a wiggle worm in my head that said I need a bigger house. You need more. In particular, I let my family, my unbelieving family, put that wiggle worm in my head. Well, you're not doing well if you're not getting more. Now, I prayed God for the home I have now, because he gave me a home that I'm able to entertain people in. I've had many of you out to our home and so on and so forth, and I praise God for that. Because in all honesty, if I would have had some of the things that we do now at our house in our single wide trailer, it would have been pretty dang cramped. All right? As a matter of fact, there was a point when we were getting ready to move. I was reminded this a while back that there was a point in our single wide trailer house that we had Bible studies in our home, and people had to come over and sit on our bed for the Bible study. Not because the Bible study was so large, but because our bed was in the living room, and that's a whole other story. All right? We had a big bed, small bedroom, you know, all that fun stuff. Anyway, Now, I tell you all that because we were kind of up here, if I can put it that way. In our minds, we were excelling. We were doing great. But you know what we lacked when we were up here? Dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I remember when my wife called me up during that period of our life and freaked out because our bank balance had dropped below $1,000. Now, bear in mind, when we came home from our honeymoon, we had literally $23. That's how much. And by the way, we only got to go on a honeymoon because I prayed, Lord, you need to provide the money so I can take my wife on a honeymoon. I made all the reservations and everything like that beforehand. And then I'd like, Lord, you got to provide the money for it. And then our wedding, I got a gift enough to cover our entire honeymoon, which was the praise God thing. Which, by the way, I didn't go all extravagant. It was $500, literally. Okay? And we came home with $22, and it was awesome. And we spent most of that at one meal, which was a mistake, but and it came out with, it was a plate about yay big, and it had two peas in the middle with something red on it. Okay? But nonetheless, all right, what I found was when I was excelling, I wasn't necessarily content. I found myself going, I want more. So then the Lord took everything away from me, and you know what all of a sudden I found? Contentment. Because I realized I didn't need the things I thought I needed. I needed more of Him. And that's what was lacking in my life, with my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That just time I spent with Him and the dependence we had on Him and so on and so forth. And that's what Paul is saying here. I have learned, whether I'm doing really well or doing really bad, that none of those things matter. What really matters is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one I'm after. That's what matters. And this is what He's going to express to us and the ideas that He's going to express to us. He learned how to be abased, to be brought low, to be humbled, and how to excel. How is this possible? Well, very simply, He has this attitude. Turn me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Says these words to us. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and ye desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter return into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another, brethren, but he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. I went a little bit further than I expected to, but that's okay. Wars, that's how he starts out that whole thing, right? Where do wars come from among you? And by the way, this isn't just talking about the wars that we have between other people. Sometimes you have a war within yourself, don't you? You have a battle going on in your own heart. The Lord's going, I want you. And you're going, I know, Lord, but I got to give myself to this. Because if I don't give myself to this, then how am I going to, and so on and so forth. Sometimes that war that we experience in our life simply comes from within our own selves. Our own desires, our own lust, if I can put it to you that way. And that's why he says, and wars is not a peaceful state. But notice that's where he says there. He says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, here's the problem. You're asking, you know, the Lord says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do for you. Well, here's the key to that, his name. Because so many of us ask and we're like, Lord, I need, and we give out, you know, it's like a shopping list when we go to our prayer closet sometimes. Lord, I need this, I want this, blah, 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 blah. And you just throw a bunch of things out there and he's going, yeah, but that's not what you really need. What you really need is for me to take those things from you that you have so you can learn not to blaspheme and actually seek after me. So then I can add those things back into you and then you're going to enjoy those things because you understand they're a gift from me. War is not a peaceful state to find oneself in. Anyway, notice there it says in verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Drawing nigh to God, to draw close to God, and he's going to draw close to you. It says, and then he goes on from that point, And he says, if I can put it to you this way, before that he's talking about the joy, and he says, if I can put it to you this way, he says, let not your joy be that false joy of the world that comes from external circumstances, but rather let that joy be what comes from drawing nigh to God as he draws nigh to you. And then as he says in verse 10, humble yourselves and God will exalt you. And if you would, he will give you back that laughter. He will give you back that joy, which is no longer dependent upon external circumstances, but because of your eternal position. That's what he's really telling you. You want true joy, you want true peace, you want true laughter, you want to be able to enjoy this, you're going to have to find your solace, if you can find it this way, find your contentment in me. Because I'm all you need. I'm all you need. Back now in our text. As we continue on, he says this. Now this is the thought that as I was going through this week, I'm not going to lie to you, brought me to my knees. It was such an amazing thought that the Lord gave in this passage. I'd never stopped to realize what he was saying to me until this week when I was looking at this, so I'm not going to lie to you. I may not be perfect at expounding on this morning, but I hope you hear what I'm about to say. Because what I'm about to say was so mind-blowing to me this week that it brought me to a place where I realized more about what I just said than I've ever realized in the entirety of my life. Because in verse 12, he says, to begin with, he says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. But then listen to what he says after that. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed. Now I'm going to pause there for a second, just give you a word history here. The word instructed there means like a religious rite. That's what he's doing. It's a religious teaching. I'm giving you a religious instruction right now, the way he's saying. Okay? This is if I can put it seriously, it's almost a commandment. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, here's the part that blew my mind. That's simultaneously. What he's saying there is you have to learn how to be filled and hungry at the same time. You have to learn how to abound and to suffer at the same time. Now, that doesn't make any sense to my human mind. How could I possibly be full and be hungry at the same time? Well, remember my story I told you about the menu on the fridge? I was completely satisfied after that meal, but I still was desiring the next one to come. I was completely filled up. I was full. I didn't need any more, but I wanted more, didn't I? Because steak was tomorrow night, and that's what I wanted. I enjoyed whatever we just had, probably chicken, all right? Which is pretty close to meat, all right? But whatever we just had, I'd enjoyed, but I was looking forward to what was to come. So in other words, if I can put it this way, I was completely filled, but I still was hungry, wasn't I? That's the idea of what he's saying there. You need to be completely satisfied with who you are in Jesus Christ. You need to be completely satisfied and content in Jesus Christ and understand that all you need is Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you want what? More Jesus Christ. So you're completely satisfied. You're filled up. You can't take any more in. And that idea of filled means to gorge, to be gorging yourself. So you've gorged yourself in Jesus Christ. And now what are you going to do? You're going to gorge yourself some more. That's what he's saying to you. And by the way, this is not a foreign concept because we actually hear these words somewhere else, these exact words put together somewhere else in our Bibles. Turn to me in Matthew chapter 4. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 5. I lied to you. Matthew chapter 5. In other words, we're going to be fully satisfied, but yet still hungry. We're going to be fully satisfied, yet still hungry. Matthew chapter 5, we're familiar with this in the interest of time. I'm not going to take us through the entirety of the Beatitudes this morning, but I want to look at, in particular, verse 6 of the Beatitudes, if you would with me. And we understand there's the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so on and so forth. And by the way, when we read the Beatitudes, when you go through those, don't try to identify with one of them. Try to identify with all of them. One of the mistakes I think we'd make is we go, well, I'm somebody who's poor in spirit, so the kingdom of heaven is mine. I'm somebody who's meek, so I will inherit the kingdom of God. I mourn, so I'll be comforted. Okay, we try to find which one of those groups we're identifying with. You should be all of those things. But this is what he says in verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay. And this is the part that brought me to my knees. You ready for this? When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were completely clean. and you are completely clean. He promised and he said that all of our sins are forgiven. So if I could put it to you this way right now, you stand, if you know Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you stand completely righteous in his sight. But you're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, you're completely filled up. You can't become any more saved than you already are. I love how people try to add to their salvation. You're not adding to your salvation. You're as saved as you could possibly be right now. Nobody can take heaven from you the same way nobody could give it to you, including yourself. It was a gift from God. And once you've received that gift, it's yours. Nobody gets to take it from you. Nobody gets to say, hey, you know what you need to do now that you're saved to really show that you're saved, to really prove you're saved, or actually to earn more salvation? No, you're as saved as you could possibly get. So you're completely filled up. But now you need to hunger after righteousness. Now what does that mean? Well, now you have Jesus Christ with you. And we're going to look in a moment, and he's actually indwelling you, isn't he? And so when I look at my life, do I see Jesus Christ? Because if I am filled up, overflowing, gorged with Jesus Christ, isn't that what I should look like? I mean, in all honesty, it's like eating barbecued ribs. If you gorge yourself on barbecued ribs, your face looks like you ate ribs, doesn't it? Unless, of course, you're doing the dry rub, and I don't, you know, whatever. Okay? But no, you guys get my point, though? And if you're gorging yourself on Jesus Christ, if you're so filled up with him, then isn't that what you should be looking like? And this is why we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because this is what we should want to look like. We should want to look like our Savior. We should want to look like Jesus Christ, because we are filled with him. We are filled with him. We should hunger after righteousness. And we will be filled. Turn with me now to 2 Peter to look at another idea of the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we read these words. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such a thing, and that idea of looking, doesn't that sound a lot like hungering after? Wherefore, since ye look at such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot or blameless. And account that long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our Lord brother Paul unto him hath written unto you, as also in his all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye being led away with error of the wicked fall from your steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, the unlearned, those who don't mix it with faith, remember we talked about that a minute ago, didn't we? Okay, those who don't put the gospel with the faith, they can't understand these things. They may hear the gospel and they think, oh, that's a neat story. But until they put it in the faith and they place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in that gospel, they will never understand the deeper things of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot. It's impossible. But those of you who have should understand these deeper things. These deeper things that say what? These deeper things that say we should, as it says there, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, being completely filled and yet desiring to grow. Being completely filled and wanting more knowledge. That's what he's saying. That's that same idea. More Jesus, more of him in our lives. Be content with what you have. Be content with what he's done for you. Be content that even if all you should ever receive in this life is just your salvation from Jesus Christ, be content with that because that's all you need. But grow in the knowledge of him. Desire after more depth with him. I'm always so amazed by people who merely are just okay with the idea that they're saved. And by the way, I'm going to be brutally honest with you right now. I would never stand up here and tell anybody they're saved and going to heaven. Likewise, I'd never stand up here and tell somebody they're damned and going to hell. I would tell them the evidence is for there. I'd say, hey, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're saved, going to heaven. I don't know whether or not you've done that. If you haven't, then I can tell you you're going to hell. That's between you and the Lord. I don't know your heart. But I am going to tell you this much. If you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're content with living like the world, you're content with behaving like an unbeliever, if you're content with the wickedness of this life, and you like those things, you enjoy those things, you find pleasure in those things, I'm going to be honest with you, I would have a really hard time believing that you know who Jesus Christ is. I really would. I'm not going to tell you you couldn't, but I'm going to have a real hard time believing that. All I'm doing is going to take sharing the gospel with you because I'm really worried. But the truth of the matter is this, if you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you won't find yourself satisfied there. You'll find yourself going, I want to know more, Jesus. That's why when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I got saved on that Sunday morning and I got a Bible. I wanted it. I read it. But how many of you go, oh, I'm saved now, and close the book? It's over with. That's all I needed. I'm saved. I know that none of you are that way or guilty of that because you're all sitting here this morning. I'll be honest with you. Unless you're doing it to somehow appease your conscience about not going to church or something like that. But the truth of the matter is there's unfortunately so many people who think that that's the end of the story. That's where it all ended at. Well, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and that's all I needed. So, all right, now I'm going to do whatever I want to do, live any way I want to live, do whatever I want to do. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's what you're doing. So you're completely filled, but you're still hungry. You're completely filled and still hungry. Go ahead and turn back to our text now. Philippians chapter 4. Just to drive that point home, he also says it a different way. He says, not only are you completely filled, but you're still hungry. He also says this, simultaneously, you will abound, as it says in the end of verse 12, I both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, have all that I need, but still need more. That's what he says. I have all that I need, but still need more. And it's not the things of this world. It's more of him. It's more of him. And he may add to you things from this world. And I want to make that clear. When we read that passage earlier, it said that friendship with the world is enmity with God. I want you to understand something there. He's not saying that we can't have friends that are in this world. I have a lot of friends who aren't believers. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this. You love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're seeking after him, then the things that the world wants and seeks after are not the things that you're going to seek after. That's friendship with the world. When you're like, well, I'm going to accept everything that's okay just because I want to get along with people. Friendship with God is willing to tell people, no, that's not who he is and that's not what he desires. I mean, if you're my friend, and somebody comes to you and says, you know, Brian is probably the biggest Green Bay Packers fan you've ever met in your entire life. I hope you all are willing to stand up and say, yeah, that's not Brian. I mean, I'm using a silly illustration, but isn't that the truth? Sometimes we'll let Jesus Christ get all sorts of things railed upon him. Or people will misrepresent who Jesus Christ really is. I watched an interview last night. I couldn't sleep last night, and so I was watching, my mistake, but I turned on YouTube. All right, I was watching all sorts of crazy interviews, and I was watching one famous talk show host who was debating with a Christian, and I got so upset because that Christian so misrepresented who Jesus Christ was. I wasn't upset about the unbeliever misrepresenting him. I expect him to. But when a believer gets on a show and basically says, well, no, you don't understand who Jesus is. Jesus isn't about this, and Jesus isn't about that, and they're totally making up things. No, Jesus never said that homosexuality was really a sin. Yeah, he did. But he also said you can be forgiven from sin. Jesus never said but the truth of the matter is, what was Jesus? Jesus was what? He was about holding our feet to the fire when it comes to our righteousness, but forgiving us when we can't. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus Christ did. That's love. I expect the best out of my son, but I don't beat him when he doesn't perform that way. I forgive him. That's the point. That's who Jesus Christ did it. And people get in there and they misrepresent him. And so I hope when he's being misrepresented by your world, with the friends in your world, that you don't sit there and hide away and shy away and close your, oh, I don't want to say anything. Why? What are they going to do to you? I mean, seriously, what are they going to do to you? No longer be your friend? I'm going to be honest with you. I got to get that out of my language. But anyway, we talked last week about honesty. You ready? I have lost friends over Jesus Christ, and I've never missed them. I'm serious. I've lost friends over Jesus Christ, and I've never missed them. I pray for them, and I'd love to have that friendship back, but I've never missed them. And years later, some of them have come back, and I praise God for that. Because I never needed somebody in my life who was going to draw me further away from my Lord. The same idea that we're going to suffer and still need more Jesus. Is it enough? And I want you to understand, it's that we're not the only people who ever suffer with this idea that it's just not enough. We need more. The disciples themselves did. Turn with me to John chapter 14. And this will be our last passage we're going to go to this morning. John chapter 14 doesn't mean we're done. This is the last passage I'm having you turn to. All right? Unless you get all excited. You know, I got to say, though, I'm excited about the food, too. Completely filled and yet hungry. Okay, so John chapter 14. Read what the disciples did here in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Pick up verse 8 with me if you would. And let's just read to verse 18. It says, Philip saith unto him, speaking to Jesus Christ, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet if thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am the Father and the Father in me? Seek the words that I speak unto you. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Listen to those words from our Savior. He's saying what? Philip asked him, hey, just show us the Father, and that's all we'll need. That'll be enough for us. And what did Jesus say to him? I am him, and I am here, and I am all you need. It's enough that I'm with you, isn't it? And then, just to drive the point home to those who would come to become believers later on, you and me, just to drive that point home, this is what he says. I'm going to be with you too. I'm going to come in the form of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to indwell you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you on your own wondering. I'm not going to make you worry about whether or not you're going to be saved. I'm going to be with you. I'm not leaving you alone. So the same way they can say to them, he says, I'm sufficient, I'm with you, aren't I, Philip? He's saying to you this morning, I'm sufficient, I'm with you, I'm indwelling you, believer. Isn't that enough? What more do you need than me? What more do you need than me? That's what he's saying to us. And I would say that if there was something I would come back to the Lord with in response and say, Lord, you know what I need more of? I need more of you. I need more of you and me. I need you to continue to fill my cup up until eventually the only thing that's left in there is you. Wash out all the impurities. Cleanse me, Lord. That's what I need. That's what I hunger after. That's what I thirst after. I don't need the things of this world. It's that old, take the world, but give me Jesus. Right? You can have everything else. Just give me Jesus. That's all I need. And Jesus will provide everything else you possibly could ever need, want, or desire. And I'm telling you right now this morning, brother and sister, listen to me very closely right now if you would. And I hope you hear my heart in what I'm about to tell you. I've had the world. I've had the world. And I've had all the things the world supposedly had to offer. And I could tell you right now, I have never had more than when I came to know Jesus. I've never had more. And I've never lacked since. I have been completely satisfied. Our text closes with these words. How do we do this? How do we find ourselves being satisfied completely in Him? How do we find ourselves both being filled and hungry and abounding in suffering? Here's how we do it. We remember where the source of all of it comes from. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. All things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that word strength is the empower and enables us. So if you'll allow me to say it this way to close, guys, I will put it this way to you. No matter what state you find yourself in right now, this morning, be content if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be completely filled up and satisfied with that. But still hunger and thirst after that source of righteousness. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God Almighty.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.